The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Well, it is again a privilege to welcome all of our listeners in Columbus, Ohio on WRFD AM 880 and 104.5 FM. And also our listeners in Tampa, Florida on Faith Talk 570 and 910 AM. If you just tuned in and you were expecting to hear Bill Bunkley down in Florida, well, Bill's under the weather today. And I have the privilege of simulcasting today from Columbus. So I'm doing my program, Bob Burney Live, and Bill Bunkley all at the same time. What a privilege. What an honor. And also, it is my privilege to welcome to the program Peter Lilbeck, who is president and professor of historical theology at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. He has a brand new book on leadership. It is a privilege to welcome you, Peter, to the program. Thank you.
Bob Burney, what an honor to be with you and all your listeners. And I even get the treat to have some warm weather from Tampa, although I can't quite feel it. I can feel the warm welcome, which is great.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping a little sunshine will come through to us up here in Ohio as well. I realize my audience in Florida is having a little better weather. Now, are you in Philadelphia right now?
I'm in Philadelphia, and you know what? The sun is shining here, and it's kind of working today. It doesn't always work all that well, but it has been a little bit warmer. So I know that our friends in the South have been sharing a little bit of the warmth, and I'm grateful.
Well, since you're in Philadelphia, we will not bring up the NFL. As long as you don't bring up college football. All right.
What is that good political phrase? No comment.
Yeah. I don't mean this the way it could sound, and I don't mean it's snarky in any way, but there have been literally thousands of books written on leadership. I probably got a dozen on my shelf alone. And again, this is an honest question. Why a new book on leadership?
Well, you know, it was a book I didn't intend to write, actually. It's just kind of what came out under circumstances. So,
wait a minute. A 500-page book you didn't intend to write?
Yeah, it just kind of developed. So here's how it happened. About 10 years ago, I had an ailment that put me in the hospital for a few days.
Wow.
And my daughter, knowing that I'm very much of a fidgety person, said, "Dad, you're going to go bored here. So here, I brought in a writing book. Write something." Well, I just started writing, and after I'd written several just mini essays to fill the time, I began to look as I was convalescing and said, "Goodness, I'm writing on the theme of leadership." It didn't immediately hit me. And the reason I'd been a pastor for many years, and I is now beginning to serve as the president of Westminster. So I was exploring these things, and as I looked at a closer look, something hit me. I had been thinking about that book by Lawrence Peter, that many of you have heard of before. It's called The Peter Principle.
Have it on my shelf. Basic,
okay, well, it's basic principle. Not everybody agrees with him, but it's a fascinating idea. The people get promoted until the level of where they finally become incompetent. And they're trying to explain, why does everything always go wrong? Because capable people get pushed up to where they're no longer any good, and they make lots of mistakes, and it hurts everybody. I thought, wow, I wonder if I resemble that remark. I'm now starting to lead. And as I was wrestling, I came across that great story, which we all know, of the fisherman, Peter, who's out fishing all night, catches nothing. He meets the Lord for the first time, and the Lord says, "Listen, why don't you go out and fish and put your net on the other side of your boat?" And he has the biggest catch of his life.
Yeah.
After he had done nothing but fail, And he listened to someone as a professional who told him to do something, and he was blessed. And I suddenly realized it's not that we start as competent people and rise to the level where we become incompetent, but really it's what Peter said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. In the Lord's way of doing things, we start as incompetent people. Mm. And he begins by grace to shape us through our mistakes, our failures, and opportunities that we stumble in. And over time, always struggling with the fact that we can fail and blow it and destroy the reputation we build in a lifetime. We can lose it in an afternoon. But the Lord is building us to be something. Mm. And that I said, you know what? We need a new book. We need the St. Peter's yeah. Principles. Leadership for those who already know their incompetence. As far as I can tell, most books come at it from the power of self-confidence or right. skill. This book comes at it and says, you know what, it doesn't matter how skilled you are, you're never good enough for what you do. And on your best day, you're only a breath away from destroying everything you've built by doing something foolish. And it's when we recognize that, that God can begin to shape our lives to accomplish things, because it brings humility and it turns us to the wisdom of God's word. So I don't think anybody's ever written a book on leadership like that, but it's right out of the great founding leader of the Christian church. I call St. Peter the CEO of the Christian church, the chief educational officer, yeah. the chief evangelism officer. No, I don't believe he's the first pontiff. And sometimes that's why we might not even look at him. But uneducated as he was viewed by many, the Lord said, this is the kind of guy I'm going to put in charge to build my church after he walks with me, learning from one mistake after another. So he's been very encouraging and inspiring to me. And I hope he'll help all of us to look more humbly at leadership and find some wisdom that comes right from God's word to his inspired apostle, St. Peter.
My guest is Peter Littleback. The book, St. Peter's Principles, I love the subtitle, Leadership for Those Who Already Know Their Incompetence. Before I get into the actual content of the book, you partially answered what was going to be my other question, first question. I have a little theory that there are NBLs and everybody else. NBLs are, in my way of thinking, natural-born leaders. You know, these are the people that come out of the womb ordering people around the, you know, the delivery room. These are the, you know, on the kindergarten playground. They're picking the right. sides. And so the NBL, they're few and rare. And then there's everybody else like me. Who is this book written for? Is this book written for NBLs or for everybody else or for both?
I would say it's actually written for everybody who's willing to take the more humble approach. The guy who's the natural-born leader, he needs to realize that he can so rely on his self-competence that he can actually destroy his leadership by not having the humility that's necessary to serve effectively. The person who doesn't think that they could ever lead, this book reminds them, you may not realize it, but every day you're leading somebody. Somebody's looking at your example. It could be a child. It could be a work associate. It could be someone who is a learner and you're more proficient in the field. In other words, leadership is inherent in the human experience. Those that are called to really dramatic leadership because they lead institutions or they're elected to positions or they're entrusted with the great fortunes that they have to apply, of course, they're automatically viewed as leaders. And yet the very same mistakes a humble leader can make who's learning, they can make. And you know what? Because they're so much higher up the leadership pole, their mistakes are far more deadly and damaging. Yeah. And if they had learned some humility like that little leader at the bottom, it might have spared a lot of people a lot of heartache. One of the great sayings, I like to hike, and there's a lot of great natural lessons that come when you walk along. But one of the truths of the woods is that the big trees, when they fall on the little trees, and they hurt them on the way down. And that's the picture, a great leader, a natural-born leader, one who dominates everybody. If he stumbles or makes a foolish mistake, it's not just that he comes down, but everything in his path is impacted as well. And so my plea in this book is for all of us, beginners, halfway through the line or the top of the game, all of us need to have the wisdom of God's word received with humility, recognizing, like Peter said, I'm a sinful man. I can destroy everything I have because I'm so cocksure that I'm right and I don't have to listen to anybody. I was just reading in my devotions this morning. It says, the Lord is the one who can resist the proud and raise up the humble. And that's what leadership is someone being raised up in humility is not being self-denying and denying the truth. It's self-denying because you realize the truth. What do I have that I've not received? How can I use what I have for the good of others? The proud are those who think, I don't need anybody. I'm self-contained. I'm fully sufficient. Paul the Apostle will ask, who is sufficient for these things? That's the right attitude. Man, as much as I have been given, I don't know if I can handle that unless God gives me wisdom. And there's wisdom in many counselors. There's the ability to hear wisdom sometimes from someone who's way down the pecking order of your leadership, but they understand something that you don't quite get. So that's what this book is for. It's for everybody who wants to say, I want to have biblical wisdom woven into my leadership wherever I am on the spectrum, and that in the process of doing that, may God help me to be more effective to advance his kingdom.
All right, and with that, we need to take a quick break. We're talking with Peter Lilbach, author of St. Peter's Principles, Leadership for Those Who Already Know Their Incompetence. I hope you'll get it. It is so solid on leadership. PRPbooks.com is the source, or you get it at Amazon.com. St. Peter's Principles. We'll be right back.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
And welcome back. Peter Lilbach, president and professor of historical theology at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, author of a brand new book, St. Peter's Principles. And I love the subtitle, Leadership for Those Who Already Know Their Incompetence. Dr. Lilbach, that's me. I've got to ask you. You talk about counterculture. Talk about swimming upstream. Most of the books in the evangelical community in the last 20 years have been 5 easy principles to this, 10 easy steps to this, and you know, on their like 78 pages. Your book is not exactly 5 easy steps. It's not 78 pages. In fact, it's 500 pages. And again, an honest question, and not in a negative way at all. What would you say to someone who would be intimidated by a book about leadership that's 500 pages long?
Well, someone once said you can't judge a book by its cover, and I would also say you can't judge a book by its length. And so what I would say is that the book is set up in such a way that it takes a person from the very beginnings of leadership through the different stages that all of us might go to, the experiences that are common to everyone, to the very ending of leadership. So it's a whole spectrum. It's the lifetime of a leader as he develops. And each of those are broken down into what I would call manageable bite-size lessons. They're about 3 to 6 pages long, and they start off with a key theme that comes from St. Peter that I've summarized, and then I try to illustrate it from my own life or other experiences. And then it not only has this lesson, but at the end it has a number of just simple practical questions. I call them spiritual exercises. I've had some friends who've said that they've used this as their daily devotions over a period of several weeks and found it to be really helpful to them, which I'm really grateful to hear. But that was my vision. It wasn't like, well, you got to plow through this or you're never going to get it. But there's just enough for a day. And I propose that people might read the lesson one day, the next day read the scriptural text that's with it. And then the third day, come together with a couple friends who are reading it with you and talk about the questions. And if you plug it through like that over several weeks, you will gradually assimilate what I believe are life-changing practical lessons about being far more effective for Christ in whatever venue you're leading in. And that's my vision. So I think people who think it's too big, too daunting, well, get it, open it up. In fact, I would challenge anybody, go to the table of contents and just run through the chapter and say, wow, I ought to read that. Go to that page and read it, and you'll find it's a standalone section that you can assimilate right there, and you'll walk away and say, man, I wish I'd known that 5 years ago when I faced that experience. In fact, you know, it's funny, when you're an author, sometimes you're writing things that are part of your life, and then after several months, you come back and read it again, and you read it, wow, I'd forgotten all about that. That is really true. So there's self-teaching that goes on, things you know, but, you know, you see it differently because of what you've just experienced.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this book is really designed to be, is an experiential walk through issues that you will encounter as a leader, and they are just enough right size for you to assimilate and take it in and maybe really share it with somebody else. So don't let the size scare you. What it is, it's like saying, wow, there's a local ice cream store down at the corner, and I get to go there every Friday and get another favorite. I hope that's the way you look at this, that each time you go into it, there'll be something you'll say, that was really good, I needed that. And when you come back the next time, there's more. Well, and you don't have to read it at once. Piece at a time, and it'll bless you.
I think that's the thing that impressed me the most. When I first got the book in the mail, I thought, wow, this thing's got to be really heavy. But it's supremely applicable. It really is, and especially if you take it in bite-sized chunks. And I love the way that you have put the spiritual exercises throughout the book where you can stop and actually apply the truth that you are sharing. Towards the end of the book, you talk about being a leader in culture, and you say, and we don't have a whole lot of time left, but you say even leaders need to follow. I thought that was so good. Could you expand on that just for a moment?
Yeah, Bob, I think that's a really important, that one of the things that can trip up a leader is that natural arrogance. I'm a leader. I can be self-sufficient. I'm in charge. I'm the captain of my own fate. But all of us are under authority. It's like that man who comes to Jesus and said, I'm a man under authority. And every one of us are under an administration, in a business, in a church, in a school, in our government, whether it's state or local or federal, and that it's important for us to say a leader who is effective knows what it's like to be a required follower. What is it like when you have to follow an authority and you say, it's actually a joy to follow a leader like this and to keep that in mind? Or why is it so hard to follow in that context? And what do I need to take to myself? So all of us are inherently involved in a cultural battle where someone is seeking to guide us and lead us. It could be as broadly as the cultural messages we hear on radio or music or in popular entertainment, or it could be more specifically in the immediate government structure we find ourselves in a group. But in all those places, we as leaders are also followers. All I have to do is, I'm the president of a seminary, I kind of, so I'm in charge. Well, the moment I walk in a doctor's office, I'm just a humble patient. I don't know anything.
And with that, all of us, with that, Dr. Littleback, we're going to have to stop there. Unfortunately, our time is gone. Dr. Peter Littleback, the author, St. Peter's Principles, Leadership for Those Who Already Know They're Incompetent. Get it. It's a big book, massive book, but extremely applicable for those who are leaders, certainly those who want to be leaders. Bobberty Live will continue after this brief intermission.